Father, we come before you and we thank you for just the work that you're doing, not only through the Reddit Corp, but also through Kevin and Karen, the work in their lives, their walks with you, Lord God, the business. Father, I just pray that we would continue to bring glory to your holy name, Lord, that it's so easy to get caught up into just a day-to-day routine and just living life to live life. God, we can live this life abundantly in you, Lord, because you love us, because you care for us, Lord. You're very concerned about the things that we do here in this life. And so, Father, as we come before you, as I attempt to reference scripturally a teaching from your word, God, that I believe you led me to share out of chapter 8, integrity, integration, I pray that you would bless it, that you would anoint it, that you would speak to all those who will be listening to this teaching as we lift it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm taking this text here out of Matthew chapter 18. I'm looking at verses 10 to 14. And I titled it God's Unconditional Care for His People. Jesus said in verse 10, "Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek the one that is straying? And if he should find it, assuredly I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." You know, throughout the scriptures, as you read through the Bible and study through the Bible, we continually see God's protecting care for his people. But probably nothing is greater than that of the shepherd and his sheep. I mean, there's multiple examples. Just a few. Psalm 23, verses 1 to 3. John 10, 11. Psalm 100, verse 3. Isaiah 40, verse 11. Matthew 2, verse 6. It just goes on and on and on. Hebrews describes Jesus as that great shepherd. Peter calls him the chief shepherd, to whom all the under-shepherds are accountable. Jesus gives another parable to get his point across here. And just to remind everybody, a parable is a story taken from real life that makes a spiritual point. We know it's different from a fable because fables are not taken from real life. So the Lord uses the parable to explain associating with sinners in order to save them. Just as a shepherd gives himself for a lost sheep and rejoices when he finds it. Jesus is teaching his disciples. He's pointing out there to be like shepherds in their care for other believers, particularly those who are weak. This is the kind of behavior that's totally opposite of that of the world. The world associates with what? Greatness and success. Jesus is referring to new or weak believers as these little ones. You know, it's interesting. We're told in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation?" These angels have access to the Father's presence all the time. All the time. And it's on behalf of these little ones. Yet, it's not angels who are important here. They intercede on behalf of weak or straying Christians. But here's what's really important. God is compared to the shepherd who seeks and finds the lost sheep. I see five areas in this parable about God. The first area, God cares for us individually. He's not looking for a group. He's looking for an individual. If you've ever seen a bunch of sheep in a field, It makes you wonder how a shepherd can tell the difference between one sheep from another, and then miss one of them if it's caught by a predator or wanders off. Well, in my research, I have found that shepherds really do know their sheep individually, and their sheep know them, and they respond to their voices. You see, Jesus was building on this fact. He was building on this fact. He told the people in John chapter 10, verse 14 and 15, he said, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." God knows those who are his individually. He cares for each one of us individually. In fact, when he calls them to faith, he calls them by name. John chapter 10, verse 3. We have examples of this in the Lord's earthly ministry. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 9, as Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, "Follow me." So he arose and followed him. Here's a lost sheep who was given to Jesus by the Father. Everyone that's listening to me that is a born-again believer, you have been given to Jesus by the Father. Jesus calls him by name. And when he did, Matthew recognized his master's voice and he followed him. You see the parallel here? Zacchaeus, he was a lost sheep. He couldn't see Jesus as he passed by because of the crowd, so he climbed up into a tree to get a better view. We see that in Luke 19, verses 5 to 6. Jesus said, Zacchaeus, come down here. I'm going to be at your house tonight. And he came down all excited and fired up. A more powerful example was in Bethany, where Mary and Martha's brother was sick. They sent for Lazarus, or for Jesus rather, but their brother Lazarus died before he got there. Actually, in John chapter 11, it says Jesus waited 4 more days after they sent for him. Now, the first time I read that, I thought, what's that all about? Didn't Jesus love Lazarus? Well, he had something planned where he was going to glorify the Father by resurrecting Lazarus from the dead in front of Mary and Martha and the other Jews that were with him. Lazarus was one of Jesus' lost sheep. He responded to Jesus' voice by returning from the dead and hopping out of that tomb. I can tell you this much. If you're a believer, it's because God called you individually. And when you heard him call you by name, you turned from trusting yourself to trusting him. If God called you by name when you first believed on Jesus, you can be sure God will exercise that same care in keeping you and seeking you if you stray. You might be 1 in 100. You might be 199 out of the world, as Patrick said, for him. But you're the one he'll go and find and bring home. The second area, God understands our weaknesses. It said sheep are stupid creatures, probably the most stupid animals on earth. Well, let me say this. It says a lot about you and me, because in Scripture, we are referred to as sheep. They can have a good shepherd who brought them to the best grazing area. I mean, just with the best water supply. But they're still wandering off to barren fields with no water. They're creatures of habit. They'll stay in the same spot, grazing on the same land until every blade of grass and every root is eaten. When there's nothing left to eat, they lay down. Well, because they have so much of that wool on them, they end up on their backs. They can't turn over. So they literally lay there and suffocate and die. That's why the shepherd has the hook on the end of his cane, so that he can grab them by the neck or by the leg and pull them over so they can stand up. You know, it just causes me to know how blessed we are, that God doesn't yell at us or rebuke us for being so stupid. The third area, God will go after us when we stray. Now, why would God go after a lost sheep? Really think about it. I mean, if I got 100 sheep and one leaves, it's like, man, I still got 99. So why would he go after the one? I mean, God runs the universe, right? God directs all of history. God sets kings up. God brings them down. But you see, all that is only a backdrop for the drama of salvation. Seeking and saving lost sheep is the most important thing to God. God created the world as a stage where salvation could be acted out. But there's something else we need to know about God. He doesn't wait for us to come to Him, because we wouldn't. Romans 3 verse 11, Romans 5 verse 8. If God didn't draw us by the power of the Holy Spirit, none of us would ever get saved. We'd never come to God. Brings me to my fourth area. God rejoices when we repent and return to Him. The Bible says God grieves over sin, but God also rejoices when a sinner is reclaimed. In Luke 15, there are three stories that tell about something that was lost. The first is a parable of the lost sheep, parallel to the story we're studying here in Matthew. The second is a story about a lost coin. And of course, the third is a story of the prodigal son. Prodigal son was a lost sheep. He squandered his inheritance. Spent it all on wild living, man, everything. But the scripture says he came to his senses and he went back to his father to confess his sin and to seek a place as his servant. The father represents God. God, as he was longing for his son. He was waiting for his return. And when he saw his son coming, the father ran to him. This is the only place in the entire Bible where it is seen that God is running. He threw his arms around him and kissed him. Luke chapter 15, verse 22 to 24. Everything God has done is for yours and my salvation. No one in all the universe will be happier at our repentance than God Himself. The last and fifth area, God pursuing the lost is effective. The emphasis is on God's joy recovering what was lost. We see that in 2 Peter 3, verse 9. Here Jesus is teaching about the perseverance of believers. The belief that not even one of those who has been given to Jesus by God will ever perish. John chapter 10, verse 28-30. In the story of the prodigal, a part of it is a picture of what we often do wrong. When the prodigal son came back, his older brother wasn't home. He was in the fields. He was working for his dad. But when he came in, he heard the rejoicing. And he asked, what's this all about? And the servant told the younger son had come home. But the older son refused to go in. He despised his brother. You see, it's easy to sympathize with the older brother. I can do that. It's easy to. We suppose we're not like the prodigal. I mean, we've been faithful. We're hardworking, obedient, right? But you know what? We haven't. Or if we have, it's only because God has already sought out and found us. So what were the disciples thinking of when Jesus told them about the lost sheep? I mean, they'd been arguing over who would be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Who will be the greatest? Who will be the greatest? The greatest believer is the one who is the most like their shepherd. He laid down his life for us. You see, in conclusion, we're never more like God than when we put ourselves out there to help others. If God rejoices over the one we help to bring home, no doubt I can guarantee and promise you this, God's also rejoicing over what we're doing in being a part of it. God's unconditional care for us. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the teaching that you continue to bring to us, Lord, to teach us about your character and who you are, God, and what you mean for us and to us. You are our Heavenly Father, and we will spend all eternity with you in the things that you are going to bless us with every moment of our eternity. And Father, we can't wait till then. But Father, we're here on this earth. We have struggles we deal with on a daily basis, sometimes moment by moment. Father, please go before us. Lead us and guide us by the power of your Spirit, Lord, to make the correct decisions that you would have us to make. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.